The following podcast has been brought to you by Badger Club.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Ramble Mania Show proudly brings to you, it is I, one half of the longest reigning tag team champions of the world, the Angel of Death 6XL, joining me as always.
That would be I, the other half, the longest reigning Ramble Mania tag team champions of all the times, TJ the Great. TJ the Great. Of course, we are the Banter Club. We are here to discuss AEW Dynamite. On the Hoes Network, Network.
No, it's not about the Hoes. I got hoes. Tell me where.
In different area codes.
Damn right, motherfuckers. Don't forget.
Yeah. Nate Dogg, he had them all over the place. Rest in peace, Nate Dogg. The OG, damn, legend.
R.I.P., dog.
But yeah, of course, we talk about AEW Dynamite. Before we do that, talk a little bit about some of the news items that popped up throughout the week of pro wrestling. And let's start. It's another WWE to AEW jump. By God, it's happening again. But this time, it's on the agenting side of things. Pat Buck apparently works for AEW now.
The guy who probably produced the corniest match of WrestleMania.
So yeah, this is funny because they I read this in the Observer and they were talking about, you know, he gave in his notice after he did WrestleMania and, you know, he worked WrestleMania and he helped produce Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, the main event, and Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey.
Also ill.
Yeah. Not the best endorsement for a guy who you're bringing in to, I guess, be a producer for matches. I mean, they're main event level matches, but they weren't great matches.
Nah. I remember those two matches. I was like, what? The Roman match, I was like, what? Even though there's still the speculation that he might have got hurt and nobody wants to talk about it.
I mean, maybe, but I mean, even apart from that, it wasn't good.
Anyways, get my point. I was like, okay. And then fucking Ronda versus Charlotte was probably the most boring thing.
But I mean, you know, I digress because I'm sure Pat Buck's hands weren't the only hands in those pots. Like with those matches, I'm sure there was input coming in from other more important people.
The old WWE, man.
Because that's, especially with Brock and Roman, that's the fucking man.
Yeah, bro, they got to do like three suplexes. They got to do Superman punch and Superman punch. And you got to do the, like, goddamn, Vince.
But Vince, we're not building anything. Who cares about that, pal? You got to do the moves. It's the moves. I thought it was indie wrestling that just did finishers all the time, but I digress.
No.
Staying on WWE. Apparently, these monsters are at it again. WWE, the most innovative force in sports entertainment. They are now building matches through sitcoms. We got...
Yeah.
So, for anybody that watches Young Rock, you know, the sitcom about the Dwayne coming up as a youngster, leading up to his wrestling career on NBC. They had a scene in the most recent episode where I guess the family's all sitting there. I think they were watching the Royal Rumble. I think they were watching Yoko in the Rumble.
The Rock is laying the smack down.
Yes, that guy. So the young version of that guy, he's there with his family. And then little baby Roman Reigns is running around the room. Little Joe, he's running around. He's like, hey, somebody give me a Samoan drop. He looks at the camera and goes, acknowledge me. gave me a little chuckle.
8 points. Yeah.
That gave me a little chuckle. And then it showed like his stat line. It's just like, that's my cousin Joe. You know him as Roman Reigns.
Yep.
Then he's like, let's have a match. Let's have a match. And then Rock is like, no, we can't have a match. A match like that can only happen at WrestleMania.
Which is rumored to be the place where The Rock might be put into the Hall of Fame. It's also rumored to be the place where Batista might go into the Hall of Fame. It's also a place that is rumored that Triple H will be going into the Hall of Fame. And it's also a place where The Rock is currently working all the time. So, yeah, there's rumors.
Yeah. And how long we've been talking about this? For like a year now, I feel like. They want that match. They want Rock versus Roman Reigns for WrestleMania.
Roman turned heel, I think in my head I was like, since he coined the phrase.
Yeah, Tribal Chief. It feels like since then, yeah. It feels like that's what the whole thing has been built into.
Mm-hmm.
And even with this, the tribe is all here in this little scene. And here's little baby Roman Reigns. Acknowledge me.
You know, it's funny when the whole family goes, I'm like, what?
Yeah. I'm like, what? Y'all really do that? I feel like it's a liberty with depicting The Rock's family.
Yeah.
That'd be funny though, if little baby Joe was really running around, like, acknowledge me. And that's where you got it from.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
That was obviously thrown in for the lulz.
Yeah, like that's his catchphrase. We got to put that in there so people know.
Acknowledge me. If not, they're just going to be like, oh, look at that cute little Samoan boy.
Yeah. that's one of Rock's little cousins. Yeah, yeah.
He looked adorable as fuck, though.
it was a cute scene. It was a cute scene.
They picked the little chubby kid, as a kid who grew up chubby and is a very large man indeed. I when I see chubby kids, I'm like, yeah, they should have had more of those on TV when I was a kid, so I wouldn't have felt so isolated, you motherfucker.
I feel like the heavy set kids they would have on TV were like
dicks.
Either they were bullied or they were bullies.
Yeah, they were nine out of 10 of the motherfuckers were dicks.
Yeah, they're fucking bullies.
Like the ones that were shaped like me, at least.
Yeah, they'd walk around fucking, hey, give me your lunch, you dork, and shit like that.
And I'd be like, I'm not fucked up like that. That ain't, that ain't right. I don't like these kids. These kids are assholes. Why am I always the villain? That's how I felt for a while. Sometimes they were like the cool, like, spunky leader type, which is what I always like. That's why I always like Spanky.
Yeah.
You know, Spanky and I mean, Mikey from Recess.
Yeah, Mikey from Recess was a good one because he was like a poet and shit.
He was poet. He was smart. He was very artistic. Yeah. He was dope.
Yeah.
And then TJ Detweiler was a little chubby too, but he wasn't like big.
Yeah. He was just, you know, a regular size kid. He was your average kid, basically. Let's talk about the rating. 977,000. 3.7 in the 18-49 key demographic, which is very slightly down from last week.
Yeah, which, that's around where they be at.
Yeah, that's around where they be at. And I mean, considering they had some relatively stiff competition, the play-in happened. The play-in games are happening in the NBA. So, you know, playoff games, the ratings were up, and that's the two things they were behind on the charts. So for them to be, you know, just about where they regularly sit at every week is pretty good.
Are you ready, Tevin?
I believe I am ready.
No, I said that. Are you ready?
I am ready. I snuck over here again.
They're ready. He has to sneak over here. It's better over here.
I like this shit.
He's over here on some fucking, look how they're massacring my boy.
They got my boy Regal over here. Yeah.
My boy Regal's cool. Yo, watch Triple H to AEW, confirmed.
his whole squad over here.
All right, Tim. Sorry, it's time for us to light the fuse.
Yeah, bring the boom.
Because it's dynamite. Now, I got to go back to my Are You Ready gimmick. With the thousands in attendance. Good job. The millions watching at home.
Phew.
And for the most confusing segment we've ever had.
Which one?
Let's banter.
AEW Dynamite from New Orleans, Louisiana. New Orleans. It's out there. Yes, that man's hometown. And they let you know a little bit later. We're going to talk about him later.
Yep.
But to start the show, we got CM Punk versus Penta Oscuro.
This was a gift.
This is one of those matches you thought you could only ever do in a video game.
Yep. This was a nice
I'm pretty sure game. I have done this in a video game. Yo,
I definitely did it in 19. Cool. In 19, I've done it for sure.
Yeah. So, and then the fact that, again, shit like this can just happen now is really fucking cool. So, also pretty fucking cool. This show starts with a CM Punk match, ends with a Samoa Joe match. I think it's the first time CM Punk and Samoa Joe have like wrestled on the same card since gotta be 2005 Ring of Honor. Gotta be.
Since Gucci Mane in 2000.
Since Gucci Mane, dead ass. That's the last time Punk and Joe wrestled on the same show. Fucking when Gucci Mane was out here fucking beefing with Jeezy.
Fucking lemon drops.
So that in itself is fucking crazy. But yeah, this match starts. It's Cero Miedo versus CM Punk.
By the way, he had a pin.
Punk, yeah, he kept pointing to it too.
He kept pointing to it, and I wish I knew what that was. I was looking around for answers, but I did not find anybody with answers.
Yeah.
So yeah. Find out, guys, if you know what the fuck is that pin.
I'll zoom into it. And yeah, because he was pointing like this thing and right also, here. This is what it's about.
Penta's fucking entrance. Penta's entrance is the scariest shit.
Shit, evil.
Yo, and then you just see Punk like, And Penta's over here like, creepy, spooky, spooky. I came out of a grave. And Alex Abrahantis is still deaf from Bill and Ted.
Yeah. Yo, as long as Penta is fucking dark, Alex is going to be dark. I respect it.
By the way, there was a lot of lights out today.
Yeah, they did a lot of that. And we're going to talk about where they shouldn't have done it later. Yeah. But.
Oh, no.
Punk, he's doing his thing. Penta's doing his thing. And then both men decide to start trading chops, which there was a lot of chop trading on this show, too. I guess everybody realized, yo, our main event is Samoa Joe, Minoru Suzuki. We gotta pay respects.
Facts. We got to show these men.
We got to show these men what it's about. So
I'm going to talk about that match later, but shit.
Man, listen. Punk goes for the GTS, but Penta picks his ankle and Punk sends him into the corner. Penta comes back with some sling blade action, sends Punk outside, goes for the tope, but Punk goes in and then Punk hits the tope going into the pip. Then we come back. Punk has Penta up top and he sets him up and goes for a Frankensteiner, but oh my God, did he whiff on it? I was fucking shook. I was knee, like, oh bro. My God.
I thought his knee gave out.
Yeah. And the commentators like covered it up because they were like, oh yeah, Penta was working on the knee.
He was working on his leg, remember? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm over here like, nah, bro, I think he legit tweaked his fucking knee.
he might have been like selling the rest of the way or whatever, but
yeah.
He fucked that spot up.
Yeah, I remember the ref went and checked on him.
Yeah, the ref checked was telling on him,
you alright, you alright, you alright. And then they went back and forth. And then after that, Penta walks towards the ref and like talks to the ref right quick. And then I guess the ref tells him he's all right. And then he runs up to Punk and kicks him in the back.
Yeah. He puts the boost to him and they start working again.
Yep.
So yeah, I guess they were working it out real quick. And you know, it's what you do
when you fuck up scary. A spot.
Yeah.
There was a guy in the crowd like.
Yeah. Like, oh shit. But they did what you do. You slow it down, brother. You get yourself situated and then you keep rolling.
Yep.
So that's what they did. Maybe leave the lucha spots to the lucha dudes.
I have a question. I don't know if I'm the only one who said this or noticed this. Punk, what happened to your kick pads?
I didn't even think about that.
He hasn't done the matching kick pads since he's been on AEW.
Yeah.
And I'm confused as hell as to why not.
Yeah, I used to be one of his big design things. He would have the kick pads that match his trunks.
Yeah. Now they're just black all the time.
Yeah.
And like,
and I mean, he was in that period where he was like alternating between trunks and long boys, but he's been like solidly trunks for a while now.
Yeah, like,
I don't know,
Punk. You do what you do. It's your life, it's your career. But at the end of the day, just random. Like, why'd you just?
It's just random.
Since you've been here in this company, no kickback designs. I'm confused.
Yeah. So maybe he's gonna break it out for a big match, a title match. But he goes for the GTS, it's blocked. Penta goes to break his fucking arm, but Punk breaks free. It's a fireman's carry and then goes for the Anaconda Vice. Penta breaks out of that. They fight to the apron and they start trading. Penta goes for the package pile driver. Punk goes for a regular pile driver, but then they break apart. Punk nails a big high kick, follows it up with the springboard clothesline. Shining Wizard and the short arm clothesline hits, and Punk says it's nap time, and he goes for the GTS again. Penta blocks, goes for the arm break, but Punk reverses into the crucifix. They trade pins, and then Penta springboards, but Punk catches him off the springboard and drops him with the GTS, and that gets the 1, 2, and 3. CM Punk gets the win. Oh, this match is fucking fun.
Like I said, it was a nice little treat. It was a little gift from Tony Khan to us. It's like, it's almost like he knew, like, yo, you know what we haven't done? And it'd be pretty cool as a little time killer till we can get CM Punk to the title picture. Wouldn't it be nice if we could have CM Punk versus Penta?
Yeah.
And somebody in the back goes, oh, yes. And
like,
the way
it even came together, like, because I think it was over the weekend, Punk was just on Twitter, like, yo, want to wrestle? And then he just like added a bunch of people. He was like, yo, anybody except Eddie Kingston, let's wrestle. And he like added Penta and shit.
Yeah.
And then Penta was like, let's do it. And then Tony picked Penta. And Eddie's response was fucking great. He was like, let's go, best friend. Fuck you, Punk. I love that he and Punk still hate each other. Yeah. We go to earlier on with the Jazz arriving in their private jet.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Garcia still got the Kangol on, but the outfit makes more sense this week.
Yeah, now it actually makes sense to wear a Kangol. Yeah.
It looks, last week it looked crazy, but now it's like, all right, you got
to. Now you look like a Cuban drug dealer. It's true.
But as soon as these dudes get off the jet and they start walking, we just pan over and we see Eddie Kingston and Santana and Ortiz all in a whip. Peeking out the windows, like, hey, we told you it's on site. It's on site. And they drive off, and we see that they have beaten up 2.0 and they have stolen their shoes.
Yep.
Jericho's like, where's your shoes? Kingston!
Kingston! That felt very like cartoony.
It was.
it was legit a cartoon, fucking Eddie Kingston. Maha! Vroom!
Where they took his shoes. Fucking taking his shoes too. Give me those shits.
Nah, Ortiz did that shit.
Yeah, oh, Ortiz was the one that came out with them.
And said, Ted egged them on.
Yeah, yeah, get his shoes.
Take that shit, monkey. Take that shit. Come on, Angel, you fucking. Better grab them shits, fucking yink.
funny stuff. And now. We got the AEW Tag Team Championships on the line. Red Dragon versus Jurassic Express.
They gave us a reason.
Damn right they did. They gave us
a reason.
It's my guys in there, Red Dragon. You get it, like Luchasaurus said last week, it's dragons versus dinosaurs. And Kyle O'Reilly took that shit to heart. He did like 5 dragon screws
but
to Luchasaurus.
The colors were opposite.
Oh, yeah, true.
It's supposed to be the red Tyrannosaurus Rex. So yes. The red dinosaur. And then the dragon is supposed to be green.
Yes.
But, you know, shout out to Thomas Oliver. Like, if he's a real person.
Jungle Boy tries to come back, but Kyle locks on the cross arm breaker. He goes for an arm drag, but Jungle Boy Tiger faints through the ropes and then makes the hot tag to, as JR calls him, the Lizard Man. So the Lizard Man is in there running wild.
Fucking, you watching Spider-Man and fucking the Lizard's over here like, man, he's not me.
Right?
No.
That's not.
I'm Doc Connors, bro.
Yeah. I got one arm and shit, bro. He got two.
I can't do that half human, half lizard. I have to be like full lizard.
Yeah, I can only be arm. One or the other. I can't do the both thing. That's crazy.
He's special. Oh, God.
So, Luchasaurus, he runs wild, does a double choke slam and a moonsault on Kyle. That gets a two. Then Red Dragon takes over. Jurassic Express comes back. They hit a side slam elbow combo for a two count. Then Red Dragon comes back, hit the butterfly suplex lung blower combo into a submission. Mm-hmm. That gets broken up. Jurassic Express sets up for the Doomsday, but Bobby cuts it off, hits an avalanche falcon arrow over fucking Luchasaurus and Kyle O'Reilly, who are like locked in the corner, and mm-hmm. he covers for a two count. Then Kyle and Luchasaurus are trading in the ring. Once again, just fucking trading chops. Like, everybody got to pay tribute tonight.
Yep.
And then everybody starts hitting moves. Fucking Jungle Boy DDTs Kyle O'Reilly out of existence. Fucking Kyle takes the bump, fucking rolls out of the ring and disappears. And then Thoracic Express lands on Bobby. Thoracic Express gets the victory. I thought this was really fun. I do wonder what's next for my boys, though, for Red Dragon, because now they were given their reason and they lost. So
But then post-match, we might see something that might go down.
Yeah, because post-match, mm-hmm. Kyle comes in with the chair and the beat down for the Heat, and then they're going to walk out. But as they're leaving, we hear FTR's music.
Baby faces.
Absolute baby faces. Big pop from
the crowd. If you did not know.
These dudes coming out in their new merch.
If you are not aware, these motherfuckers is the biggest baby faces in the company now.
Ridiculous how over these dudes are as baby faces right now. They come
fucking
out.
Christian ain't even come out.
Facts. Fucking. But FTR is here and they're staring down Red Dragon and they're like, yeah, we got these shits. Look at all these belts we got. Fucking Bobby's pointing at the Ring of Honor title like, those are ours. He held those first.
Hey, yo,
yeah, I guess it's going down.
You never know, bro. Tony might throw him over there for a little bit.
I would be with it. Listen, they had one match in NXT that was fucking dope. So imagine FTR and Red Dragon now. Fucking no chains or whatever. That's fire.
Yeah, no chains. I mean, they didn't have a lot of chains in NXT.
Yeah, like I mean, NXT is like minimal chains. So it wouldn't be like so markedly different if, mm-hmm. as compared to like main roster WWE. But like, even still, like there are some things in WWE, even on NXT, they won't let you do that you can do elsewhere.
By the way, there was a little spooky moment in that match where I got a little scared for Jungle Boy.
When?
When he's trying to jump on Bobby Fish to the outside.
Oh, yeah.
I was spooked out for a quick second, but Bobby threw himself back.
Yeah.
He was like, no, I'm going to catch you.
Yeah, Bobby is a fucking, again, you see it every time he wrestles why they signed him. This dude is smart. He knows where to be. He knows how to fucking work with everybody. Bobby's dope. Speaking of ROH, we got Tony with the BCC. Of course, they are now plus one member after last Friday. Pure champion Wheeler Yuta. He with the gang now.
See, he used to go to BMCC, but they transferred him.
And then he met them troublemaking hood kids, and now look at him.
Now he good as fuck. We done fucked him up, bro.
Right.
He's the product of hood corruption now.
Right. So Regal, he's excited for their six-man on Rampage against the Gun Club. They got a six-man tag.
Yes. And
Mox is like, I don't know the Gun Club. I don't like the Gun Club. You're going to whoop their ass.
That's Mox. That's Mox. I'm going to have a fight and I'm going to fuck some motherfuckers up.
Yeah. And then Yuta's like, now, Tony Friday, the real work begins. And there you go. Yeah, Yuta with the gang. So love to see it.
Yep.
And then speaking of things you love to see. Once again, Tony Schiavone is with Tony Storm and Jamie Hayter. What the hell, man?
They testing us, B.
It look even better than they did last week. This ain't right. This ain't right. This is bullshit,
man. They testing us, bro.
That's exactly what happened. Tony Khan saw the timeline blow up last week. He was like, oh, this is... I see how y'all reacted to this. I'm going to do it again.
He's like, money.
And then he booked it. The actual match is for round one of the Owen. It's off rip. I definitely would have put that for the final, but hey, listen, man. I guess it's for the better that they're doing it as soon as possible, because I don't know how much more I can take of these two sitting here scowling at each other.
Yeah.
So, Jamie says, I want this match even more than the fans want it. And as a fan, Jamie, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
You don't want this match more than me. No, you don't.
I definitely don't want it more than me.
You don't want this match more than me. I promise
That's
you
impossible.
That.
That's impossible.
I promise you that. Tony just smirks at her and walks off. And see, that's why. See, you don't want this match more than me, Jamie. I'm telling you. Now, we got MJF versus the Captain, Sean Dean. MJF here to get revenge.
Did you see this outfit?
The Captain?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I felt a little weird about that outfit.
I was like, what's going on here, bro? Got a new situation?
G.I. bro.
Yeah. It has some G.I. bro vibes. Yo, I noticed last week when MJF was on commentary, he was like, Excalibur, you're always plugging that damn Rats in the Kitchen show. Why do you always do that when I come out? And then I noticed next week, this week, the second MJF came out, Excalibur was like, Rats in the Kitchen, now on TBS. I'm like, yo, he really does plug that every time MJF comes out.
Who was that? I think Jim Ross was like, I'm a chef.
Jim Ross was like, I'm a chef. I need to be on that show. I'm like, what? You do got barbecue sauce.
I guess he really is a chef. I guess he was really into it. Damn, y'all.
Keep those rats away from your barbecue sauce now.
You know what's on my screen right now? Damn, yo. Sheesh.
You know? them two? No.
Horny jail.
No. 2 weeks of horny jail was enough. No more of this, Tony. Don't do it again.
When they have the match, we're going to cry.
Yeah, enough.
I got it's going to be the most beautiful thing.
Yeah. MJF is doing this thing early on where he has zipped his Furberry into his jacket, so he's struggling. He's like,
it's bullshit, bro. This motherfucker, and I knew it was bullshit.
I knew everybody knows it's bullshit, and they're like, fuck this guy, man.
The ref didn't fucking know. The ref was acting oblivious as fuck.
Well, you know, it's wrestling. The ref has got to be the one that counts. It's got to be the one that's fucking oblivious to it. So Sean Spears is running up like, I got you, Max. I'll fix it. And, you know, they're trying to fix it. But then Captain goes over to Sean Spears. And then MJF takes advantage, knocks him down. And then, of course... I was fine all along.
He takes the scarf off and he goes, oh, I just needed to take the scarf. Motherfucker.
Fucking asshole.
Did you notice that even now his elbow pad has Furberry?
Yes. This man he's becoming a walking fucking Furberry advertisement.
So this was a little bout that I mean, they did a little back and forth and
it was
about like 3 seconds.
Quick. Yeah. Yeah. And then we cut to the back. Mm-hmm. Where there are dead security bodies. And usually when there are dead security bodies, behind that is Wardlow.
By the way, there's one with no security guard shirt, which is why I was like,
I didn't notice that at first.
I did notice. That was the first thing I noticed. I was like, damn, yo, he fucking took his shirt? What the fuck? Then I was like, of course he took his shirt.
Yeah,
cuz. Ah.
The crowd starts chanting for Wardlow. MJF's looking around like, oh, no. He's fucking coming. Where is he? And he goes outside. He's standing by the barricade.
He's just asking for security.
You just see some yoked up dude in a fucking AEW security shirt walking up behind him.
And a COVID mask.
He takes off his mask. And, of course, it's Wardlow. And the crowd starts going crazy. There is one dude that like didn't know it was Wardlow until Wardlow was like right next to him. He was like, oh shit, it's Wardlow. So then
that man
you know,
probably wears shit ton of cologne. You could probably tell right away.
Yeah.
He looked like the type.
Yeah. So he taps Max on the back and Max turns around and sees him. He's like, oh shit. He runs off, runs up the ramp. Sean Spears hits him with the chair, but you fool, Sean Spears. Wardlow has evolved beyond such attacks.
He literally turns around like, are you fucking stupid, man?
You know you're not fucked up, right?
And the crowd, I think, chants it.
Yeah, the crowd's like, you fucked up. You fucked up. And I that because obviously they're going to save that powerbomb on MJF. Mm-hmm, they're going to tease and tease and tease and save that. But I like that they're also teasing and saving the Sean Spears powerbomb as well. Because like you could have just did that and been done with it and then just gone to him and MJF. But no, they're saving both. That's two bit separate big pops.
The way that he was swatting grown men.
Yo, because after he goes to powerbomb Spears and then security comes down and then Wardlow just starts, get the fuck. The security, they get Wardlow. But MJF, he's so preoccupied, he doesn't realize that now his problem is there's a fucking army of people between him and the ring.
The ring. And he tries to get the ref to stop.
Yeah. I'll pay you. Tony Khan's paying you, I'll pay you triple. Just don't count to 10. And then Bryce is like, 10.
10. If I was Sean Spears, I would have been like, that's my gimmick.
What the fuck? He hit him with a chair. Yeah. But yeah, Sean Dean wins by count out. He is 2-0 against MJF. The captain, once again, the Pinnacle's kryptonite.
Oh, God. The Pinnacle cannot.
They cannot handle the captain, him. Sean Dean.
They just can't. Especially now with his GI Bro outfit.
Right. I like that AEW is using countouts and disqualifications for fun stuff like this because they're rare. Like they don't often happen. So like when on those rare occasions that you do see like a countout or a DQ is going to be like for some storyline purpose. But I like that.
Let's go now to Post Bell.
Yes. Yeah. And they're all pissed in the ring. And did we go to the back? Wardlow is still killing fucking security. Like they're trying to pull him out of the building and Wardlow just starts throwing dudes again.
This was cool. This was cool as fuck.
This was dope. He runs up to the camera. Mm-hmm. He's like, Max, it's not going to be over. I will never stop until you release me from my contract. And then he fucking throws the camera down and it cuts away.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was dope.
Wardlow's being presented to be Steve Austin. It's cool. Well, a mix between Steve Austin and Goldberg, which I kind of like. Yeah,
because he has the Goldberg chant now. Because the moment this match started, Wardlow, the crowd is hot for Wardlow.
Wardlow, yep.
So they are ready to see this man kill MJF.
Yep. He's Steve Austin in the way where I fight everyone.
Yeah.
I will fight everyone to get my point across. I will fight.
Yeah.
This next thing, I don't know. It was weird. It was cool. It was weird.
Darby?
Yeah.
Yeah, Darby's doing this film school shit. And then he's like, Andrade, let's have a coffin match. I'm like, oh, shit. That's going to go crazy. So, yeah, Andrade and Darby in a coffin match.
Okay.
If you remember, the AEW has had one coffin match. It was Darby and Ethan Page. That shit was crazy. So I imagine this will also be crazy.
He was just he's very odd. That man is very different.
And speaking of different, we go to Malakai Black.
Yeah, and then he does a whole little spooky dookie.
Yeah. And his spooky thing is for Fuego del Sol. I thought he killed him already. he started talking about Fuego. I was like, wait, he's still feuded with Fuego? What?
He wants to end that, man. I don't know what he did, but
he pissed off at Fuego.
Fuego, you should have never.
Yeah, whatever you did, Fuego, you shouldn't have done it.
Yep.
Now this man is after you. It's like he was like, I know you wonder why I'm here alone, because I want you to fear the shadows. And then he backs into the shadows. I'm like, oh, what the hell is going on here?
And then they keep doing the little, we're going to switch angles all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And even switch complete perspectives, like flip the actual face.
Yeah.
It was weird.
So yeah, some
A lot of weird film school shit, bro.
Yeah. They're flexing their film school muscles.
They was out here talking about Sundance Festival shit.
We got the Jazz. Jake Hager, Daniel Garcia, and Chris Jericho versus Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz.
Did you peep the music now?
Oh, for Eddie and Santana and Ortiz? Or
nah, Jericho in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, with the intro.
It has like a very WWE intro.
Yeah, it does.
For blah, 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 a sports entertainment. And I was like, yeah. God damn it, Matt Menard, you idiot.
Yeah.
They couldn't even use somebody with a more annoying voice.
That's their gimmick. How can we be as annoyingly WWE as possible? Yeah. That's the gimmick.
Golly.
So the crowd is singing Judas, and you know it's winding down. The music's going off. The camera finds this guy in the crowd wearing an Oklahoma Sooners jersey and a cowboy hat.
Yes, and
JR just goes,
"What the hell? wait a minute!" and then I think it was Excalibur who goes, "A Boomer Sooner for Chris Jericho."
That shit was so funny because like it's dead silent the whole time. You just see this JR fucking doppelganger. And then like around the time you would think, wait a minute, you just hear JR. Wait a minute. what the hell?
So in my head, I'm over here like, oh, I hope JR gets to see this. And then right there he goes, wait a minute. That shit got me. And the thing too is that once the guy realized he was on the screen, he was like, yeah.
he did the, oh my god, I won the thing.
Yeah. That wasn't Ross funny. Boomer Sooner.
Right. That shit was funny. JR found his variant in the crowd.
Yeah, he was like, fuck.
What the hell?
I'm here.
So we got Santana and Jericho starting this match. And once again, we must pay tribute to Minoru Suzuki and Samoa Joe later on.
Yep,
we must throw chops for these men. Mm-hmm. So Santana and Jericho just start chopping each other. And then Eddie Kingston, you ain't going to chop a motherfucker with Eddie Kingston around. You think he's not going to get involved? he keeps running over to the other corner to attack Daniel Garcia. It's fucking hilarious. Like
he hates Daniel Garcia for some reason.
Of all of them, the most he hates Daniel Garcia.
And in real life, like, you know, he's part of like that little squad, right?
Yeah.
So it was just funny. It was like, I'm going to pick on this motherfucker today.
Right.
I swear to God, though, that made me laugh because on the inside, I'm like, I would definitely be the one fucking around. You bet money that if Hazel was on the other side of that fucking ring.
Come here, Hazel. Every take this I get.
Hazel will be like, what the fuck, bro?
You had to take
stop attacking me. You're picking on me. Of course I'm going to pick on you, motherfucker. By the way, I noticed that the Jazz logo is looking more and more every week, like the tag team penny belts.
Yeah. Like, I wonder if Jericho's drawing inspiration from fucking, he's just looking at fucking WWE shit. Like, what is obnoxiously sports entertainment that I can just lift?
What's something that wrestling fans hate about WWE?
Yeah. So... they got the heat on Ortiz. Jericho, he does the come on, baby, the pinfall with the one foot on the chest. And then Eddie just runs in and fucking tries to attack Jericho. Like, yo, don't do that, the monkey.
Yeah.
And then we go to break off that. We come back. Ortiz gets the hot tag to Eddie. Eddie's running wild. And then he brings in Santana. And then Santana decides to get some Three Amigos action.
Yeah.
Three Amigos suplexes, then follows up with the frog splash. I guess a two count. Then Eddie hits a tope on Hager. Fucking Ortiz, he sets up for the street sweeper on Daniel Garcia, but then, you know, they start interfering. So then he just throws Daniel Garcia at Jericho.
Yeah.
Because he sees Santana get taken down. So he's like, oh shit, fuck this guy. He throws him at Jericho. Mm-hmm. And then Eddie gets in with Garcia 2.0 comes out. Garcia gets hit with the half and half. He goes for the back fist, but Jericho sneaks in. hits him with Floyd, gets the bat shot in, and Garcia gets the pinfall, the 1-2-3. And once again, the heels stand on top. And poor Angelo Parker has no shoes still.
Yep. Funky Monkey had him.
Yeah. Ortiz had his shoes, and I guess he hid them.
Yep. And then Eddie had a thump shirt, which I loved.
Yeah. Eddie had a thump shirt on.
Junkyard Dog references. There was a lot of cool references here to a lot of old school shows that they've had here. And one of them was Jim Ross the entire time kept talking about, I was in here with the Junkyard Dog and the Junkyard Dog.
Like JR was going off. Like, this is where Junkyard Dog was running wild. And he was paying.
JYD.
Yeah. But I mean, it's good though. I like that, AEW will pay homage to those old, because like we talked about a few weeks back, those old school wrestling towns that before WCW died out were such wrestling hotbeds. And when there was only one major promotion, they sort of fell out of favor. But now they're coming back in full force and we're building more new history for these places. So it's nice. Yep.
They bring it up again later, and I will bring it up again later when they bring it up.
We got Marvez with MJF, who is furious. He says, I don't need the simpy of the people. I got money.
Not sympathy. Simpy.
Yeah, Scott Steiner. The simpy. he says, with my money, he's got Smart Mark with him, and Smart Mark has Wardlow's contract. He's like, in this contract, I get to put Wardlow up against whoever I want. So you know what? I'm not going to keep you home anymore. Now you're going to start wrestling again. You're going to wrestle who I want you to wrestle. So next week, you're going to go up against a proven mercenary, the Butcher. He hands Jose some money, and the Butcher comes in.
I'm over here like, bitch, please.
Hey, I like the Butcher, man.
Big the Butcher is going to get smoked.
The Butcher's going to get killed, man, but that's my guy. I like the Butcher. The Butcher's good. Now, we got Marina Shafir versus Sky Blue. We got the baddies out tonight. Yep. Among the baddies, Red Velvet and Kira Hogan.
Shit.
Excalibur's like, hey, what are they doing out there? The JR is like, hey, man, look at them. Those are some baddies. They definitely belong there.
didn't he say something like, they represent the whatever?
Yeah, they represent the confidence of the Jade Ring. You know what she said last week.
Yeah. And I'm over here like, yeah, they do. Damn right, they do. Badass women, hell yeah. Who more badass than Kiera Hogan? Get the fuck.
Yeah, Kiera Hogan's great. They got Jade and they got Jade and Mark in the back watching at an unnatural angle. But I guess for them it makes sense because Jade doesn't even care about.
Yeah, she's Jade wasn't watching. Yeah, Jade was on her phone.
Mark was taking notes and shit. He was like, oh, look at that, Jade.
So he was kind of sideways.
Yeah.
She Jade was looking just straight at the camera.
Yeah, Jade is looking at the camera on her phone. And Mark is trying to tell her shit. She's just like, I don't care about that. I'm texting the baddies or whatever.
I'm trying to see if they're okay, if they need more drinks.
she was checking on the baddies. Mm-hmm. This match. So there's been a lot made of this match within the past 24 hours and what it did not accomplish and how it went. And I'm going to say this. Whack. I'm going to say this. Whack. I thought this match was technically fine. Like, Marina Shafir has a different shoot-based pro wrestling style. Like, if you watched her on Bloodsport and all that type of shit, like, she's the most pure MMA out of the four MMA horsewomen.
Of course. That's one thing. I'm not going to blame either or, because this match should have never happened. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think the problem here is twofold. One, they have not positioned Marina as a believable, credible enough challenger for Jade. Like, I get that a lot of the AEW, weaving in and out setups are, you farm dark for a little bit, and then they transition you back into TV or transition you into TV or whatever. But I feel like for the women, since the women get so much less TV time, which is, you know, it's just the nature of the roster is smaller and all that type of shit. But since, you know, there's less time for the women, you have to be more careful with what you do with it. And they, I feel like they haven't done enough to position Marina as someone who people can believe is going to do anything to Jade. And I also think the second part of this problem is they put her against Sky Blue, who is like this rising young baby face that the people have gotten with over the past few months. Like, you signed her because she showed up in Chicago and got so over that everybody was fucking chanting for her over established talent. So like, people like Sky Blue. So if you're trying to build Marina Shafir as this potential challenger for Jade, who is the heel champion, you can't put this girl up against up and coming young baby face Sky Blue and then kill her and expect the crowd to get with that.
If you're going to do something like this, it has to be versus not just a heel, but somebody who's a lot smaller, who knows how to work.
That's what I mean. This,
if Layla Hirsch, if Layla Hirsch was clean, it's the only way that I feel like this shit would have went right. That's the only
way. That's what I'm, you do it with a Layla Hirsch.
But it's not just because she's like that. A heel. It's because she's a heel and she works that style.
We got Lexi Nair with Hook.
Hook.
She's going to interview this man, but Smart Mark and Tony Nese walk up demanding, hey, why don't we get an interview? Why are you interviewing Hook? Why won't you interview me, Tony Nese? And respectfully, Tony Nese, shut the fuck up. You just got an interview on Rampage and you was complaining at Lexi, and then Smart Mark came up and you walked away from her. Now you're walking up to Lexi like, why won't you interview me? Nigga, she tried.
Yeah, last week, and then we were like, oh, Smart Mark Sterling's going to make stories happen.
Get the fuck.
I remember. And she
Lexi
just,
should now be like, get the fuck, you had your chance. I want to talk
to you. That's what I would have said. Yeah, goodbye. I would have been like, I tried to talk to you last week, and you fucking left.
Yeah, you
so Smart goodbye.
Mark. I want to talk to Hook now. You leave. So
Skirty.
Yeah. So Hook, he steps up to these fools like, fuck y'all trying to do, but they back up, and we see behind them is Danhausen.
Idiot.
Once again, I'm gonna get him this time. Yep. And then Hook, he had like a medicine ball, he just tossed it behind his head, and fucking Danhausen caught it and collapsed because he wasn't expecting to catch the medicine ball. So
he probably thought it was a regular ass basketball.
Yeah, he probably thought it was like a regular ball, and then oh shit.
Boom. It was only 15 pounds too, which kind of hurt me. Because I'm like 15 or 12 or something like that. And I was looking at fucking Danhausen like, really, nigga?
Well, I mean, this man was channeling all his energy into the curse. And then it fucked him up. When not only did the curse not work, you're catching a fucking medicine ball. You gotta reflex.
I would have just got out the way. Fuck the medicine ball. Let that shit fall.
He was trying to curse him.
I would have backed the fuck up, bro. That would have just been like, fuck.
I guess it takes a lot of focus to curse someone. Now we got Men of the Year in the back, and they're talking shit. Sammy's getting a rematch at Battle of the Belts. And
I didn't care for this.
Yeah, I didn't care. I hope Scorpio wins, and I hope this feud ends. That's my hope for this.
I want Dan Lambert off my TV. I'm sorry.
Dan Lambert can also go, but like, he's fine when there's no women around. Just don't
get him away.
Just don't let him cut promos with women.
No, just goodbye. I would have been
let
like,
him cut
bro.
Promos on fucking wrestlers, like male wrestlers who he doesn't fucking whatever.
I don't even want him in that.
Nah, he's fine with dudes, but he sucks with women, bro. He fucking sucks so much with women. If you're gonna have Dan Lambert on TV, use him because he's good at talking and shit. Just don't use him on that shit. Like, use him on shit that like. The shit with Archer and fucking Hangman was fine. Fucking him. When before this stupid ass Sammy and Ty shit started, they were fine. Fucking Dan Lambert was walking around like, I am also the TNT champion, and they were being dickhead heels and it was fine. But then you started this shit again and Dan Lambert started talking about fake titties and shit. Just don't
Dan
do that.
Dan Lambert is cursed, bro. That's
don't
what
do
it
none
is.
Of that.
Just get him away.
Let him stand beside Scorpio with the belt on and just be like, these guys are good wrestlers and you guys are not. Now we got
next.
Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks versus Swerve Strickland and Keith
Lee. This was beautiful.
So yes, this is Ricky's hometown. So he is super fucking over. But
it's the way, because I'm gonna say how it happened. So that way, you know, you get feel. So first they play Will Hobbs theme, the intro of it, the do 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 do, and yeah, they're like, hey, and the crowd's getting a little amped. And then Will Hobbs stops at the ramp, and instead of going down, he does like a little taunt or a pose, and then all you hear is, and the moment that the first hits, the crowd, and Ricky Starks was not expecting this. So when he comes out, he starts choking up immediately. Immediately was like, yo. And then they tell us a story in commentary where they're like, he was somebody who was displaced after Katrina. So, you know, he probably hasn't really been out here like that since like all that was cleared up. And the crowd was like, welcome home, buddy.
Ricky knew he was getting that pop. But
you think he knew, but not to this extent, because when he came out, he just immediately.
But I think what set him off was because he kept looking down by ringside. And then I think that's when they said he had his family and shit out there. And then it went. I think you're right. It was a mixture of things, like the crowd. And then he saw his family and all that. But I think Ricky knew coming in is my people, because he been saying it all week. But even with that, like, you would expect in that case the crowd boos the other guys. They do not. They also like Swerve and Keith Lee.
They go with the thing. Fucking Keith Lee got a huge pop too.
Yeah.
Shane Swerve Strickland comes out, and then Keith Lee comes out, and the crowd pops for Keith Lee too.
Yeah, this was you know, beautiful. What? We like all these dudes' crowd.
Yeah.
We just like Ricky the most, but we like all y'all.
Ricky getting choked up to me, like that gave me feels.
Nah, that was great. He was trying to do his gimmick and shit, but he was so choked up.
He was like, fuck. I think even Mr. Sooner himself did a little bit of a Louisiana accent.
He
goes, Rick and Starks. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I'm like, that's Jim Ross.
That's Rick and Starks.
Yeah, I love New Orleans accent. It's kind of flamboyant. It's swaggy. You feel me?
Yeah. They got good accents out there. They roll.
I had a customer who used to come buy cigars that was from Louisiana. And he was very, very, you know, he had like very swag. Mon frère. Very swaggy, bro. Yeah, and he spoke French too. He was telling me.
Yeah. A lot of those, that, you know, the whole French tie to that shit is real out there. So. This match is going. We come back from commercial. Keith Lee is running wild. He fucking throws Starks into Hobbs. They're double teaming Starks. Swerve goes for the JML driver, but Ricky dodges. Swerve takes Hobbs off the apron, goes for the rolling cutter, but Starks drops him with a big spear and a flipping DDT, and that gets a big near fall. They go to the corner. Swerve, he knocks Starks off the top. Fucking, he knocked him off the top right into Keith Lee, who pounces him. That shit was crazy. Like, Ricky hit the ground and died.
Swerve is incredible.
That Swerve is awesome.
And he doesn't get enough credit. But watching him in the ring tonight, like, something about him in tag team action is different. Like, he knew every little point of where to do certain things to, like, set it up for Keith Lee. And it was very dope. I didn't even expect it to be that dope. Like, there's the segment where he's like holding Ricky Stark's arms.
Yeah.
And then Keith Lee gives him that big old wow right in the chest.
Yeah.
Like the way he holds his legs back and he's all that. I love how he did that. That was pretty cool.
It was. It was dope as hell. The spot of the match where fucking. He goes to the corner. They're fighting over in the corner, and then Swerve uses Keith Lee's chest to moonsault off of. Like, he goes around and jumps off Keith Lee's chest for the moonsault. That should look crazy.
Keith Lee is a fucking beast for even taking that, because I would have been like, ow. Man, shit. That's my chest.
Yeah, shit. You got it. plant
a whole ass human just jumped off my chest
like that. Yeah. You got plant and like plant. Mm-hmm. So
but you know, he had at least he had the ropes to kind of like spring off of.
Yeah. He has some help. But they go to the corner.
You know what's cool though? During that spot, like you were saying, I like that you could see that they were having fun.
Yeah.
Like Keith Lee afterwards, like he like runs around. He's like, and then fucking Swerve starts dancing.
Yeah, the whole time the crowd is going crazy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Hobbs comes in. He and Keith Lee are facing off again. But then the ref eventually breaks them up. Stark goes for the Rochambeau as Taz comes down to ringside. Taz hits ringside and gets a fucking huge ECW chant. ECW.
This is the other moment that I was talking about, because then they put it over. They were like, oh, yeah, you know, he had an epic match here, too. Yeah. November to Remember. So November it was remember, like,
yep.
I was like, yeah, that's pretty fucking dope that y'all motherfuckers remember that.
That history, that shit matters.
Mm-hmm.
So then Starks, he goes for the tornado DDT, but Keith Lee holds him up. And then Starks, he pops off, goes to the second ropes, hits a spear. He covers, but Swerve breaks it up with a 450 splash.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Lee powers up. He goes for the pounce. He goes off the ropes, but Taz grabs at his leg, cuts mm-hmm. off his momentum. And then Hobbs hits the big spine buster, covers for the 1, 2, and 3 team Taz. We get the win, brother.
I feel like this was probably my second favorite match of the night.
This is great. I love
like,
this match.
It was very emotional. There were some dope ass spots. Like, this was a really, I like this mix. I like these guys together. They work very well together. I like that.
Yeah. These four, I mean, this shit, it was from the moment they set this up, I was like, these four together will be great. And lo and behold, these four together was great. Ricky, again, this is like we say this every time Ricky starts, he's put into a position. And it's cool that he doesn't let himself be forgotten about, even though whoever, it's like you said, whoever can come in. You know, Swerve has come in, Keith Lee has come in, all these guys have come in, but they don't let you forget about Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs.
Hell no.
They so I like
this. Wow, this was great. Will Hobbs, man. I know that W felt sweet as hell. I know that shit. My boy Will Hobbs was like, hell yeah. At the end of that match. That
big dub.
I love that for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody here, I love the reaction that everybody got here. Everybody was loved. Everyone. Everyone.
These guys were treated like stars. All four of them.
Yep.
All
four everybody of them was a baby face here.
Yeah.
So that felt, see what I'm saying? But yeah, like.
They booked this right though. They built this and shit.
But all these motherfuckers is incredible regardless. Again, second favorite match of the night.
Yeah, this is great.
Want to know what my first favorite match of this night was?
Oh, it's coming up, I'm sure.
Yep.
Before that, Nyla Rose and Thunder Rosa did a segment. Fucking Nyla and Vicky were like, hey, here's a cake for your shortest title reign of all time. And Thunder Rosa was like, get this shit the fuck.
Thunder Rosa literally said, do you think I'm stupid in Spanish?
Like, do you think I'm stupid?
And fucking, stupid fucking throws it right in her face.
Yeah. Fucking Nyla gets cake face.
I'm like, God damn.
Fucking Nyla got cake face. She tried to punch her. Rosa ducked and she hit Vicky. Vicky took the slowest bump ever.
No, the slowest bump ever was whatever the fuck Vince McMahon was trying to do with that stutter.
Oh, yeah. True. Vicky took a light bump and then fucking Nyla and Rosa had a brawl and whatever. Yeah. I don't feel like this segment really was needed, but it was whatever.
Nah, but we had another Nyla being hilarious and then saying, bitch!
Bitch!
That's all we really want.
That's all you need. That's all you need. You could drop all that extra shit from the next segment and just have Nyla like run up on somebody, beat them up, and be like, bitch!
Say something funny, say something funny, and then bitch at the end.
Yeah, she'll come up with something. She's funny. So, yeah.
Yep. She's hilarious, bro.
Yeah, she's funny. So she
yeah, some, yo, it still bothers me. Some people on the internet are such fucking dickheads, bro.
Yeah, well, you know.
Fucking.
You have Lince Dorado pull up on them. He seems to be the fucking internet problem solver now, Lince Dorado. It's time for the main event.
Blurger, 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 blurger,
blurger, for the blurger, Ring of Honor World Television Championship. Samoa Joe versus Minoru Suzuki. Listen, man. Ring of Honor fucking title getting defended on national television in another promotion. Samoa Joe versus Minoru Suzuki. Mm-hmm. This whole situation is cool as hell. And if you disagree, don't fucking talk to me. Like, I want to hear shit you got to say, honestly. Honestly.
I didn't know anybody didn't like this.
I'm not saying anybody said this, but I'm just, man, listen. Like, I'm sure there are people out there that are like, I didn't like this or that, or man,
shut the fuck.
Fuck up, bro. Like, this is dope as hell.
Hell yeah.
Like, the match, because I'd always known about Japanese pro wrestling, like, because, you know, you watch Mick Foley and ECW mm-hmm. and all those guys, and you see some of the guys come in WCW. So you see some of those people come in and you hear about what they've done and all that, and you maybe see a match or two here or there, but I never really, like, dived in and to see what Japanese wrestling was truly about until I saw Samoa Joe wrestle Kenta Kobashi in 2005. That was the match that made me go, all right, I got to see what's going on with these Japanese dudes because this shit is crazy. So 17 years after that match, Joe and Kobashi, to see him in the ring with another Japanese pro wrestling legend. Mm-hmm. And now they're both recognized as legends because back then, because that was one of the cool things about that match. Like when you learn about that Joe Kobashi match, Kobashi mm-hmm. was going to go in and play like an evil foreign heel because he didn't think the American fans knew him like that. But then mm-hmm. he came out and got a huge pop in reaction from the crowd and was like, what the fuck? These people know me?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And, and then, you know, he and Joe worked the match as they worked it. But now, you know, all this time later, now he and the crowd knows Suzuki and you expect them to know Suzuki. Mm-hmm. It feels like that match in a lot of ways laid the groundwork for a match like this to be able to happen in the modern day. That's cool as hell. So, yeah. Samoa Joe and Minoru Suzuki. How does this match start? How do you think? Chops. Well,
before that, in the entrances, something that had me like kind of like I found very funny. So, of course, you know, Joe comes out. He does his gimmick. It's basically the same thing it's always been. And I realize now that fucking Minoru Suzuki now fucking he eggs the crowd on a little bit beforehand.
Yeah.
He kind of feeds for them.
Yeah.
So like when the Kaza Nina Ray is about to come up, he's like, listen, listen. And he's like, listen. And he's like, come on, get ready. Everybody, I want to hear it. And so he's there walking around on the fucking apron like, y'all better. If y'all don't,
I'll come in here and kill all y'all. Do it.
Because at the moment, the crowd is like, yeah, but they're not really, it doesn't seem like they're about to. And then once the song goes, Gaza, they all say it and they all go ape shit. And then he's like, ah, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. So then fucking Jim Ross, idiot, he goes to his gallery. He's like, so what does Kaza Nina Ray mean? Excalibur goes, something about the wind. But what does it mean?
Shut up, Jim.
He's like, I mean, you got me. You stumped me on that one.
That's all you're trying to do. I'm going to figure out what the hell this guy doesn't know.
And then he looks at Skiva and he goes, you see, we finally stumped him.
Got him. Shut up, Jim. Not during
Then Excalibur goes, I'm not gonna hear the end of this, am I? And then fucking Jimbo, you damn sure not. Yo, the back and forth right there, yeah, just killed me.
It's Kaze Nunare me. Shut up.
Something about the wind. I stumped you. You hear that? We stumped him.
We got him.
Oh, God. We got
him.
Finally, yes.
You have to talk through Suzuki's interest in it.
So let's talk about men slapping the absolute shit out of each other. Because
Joe and Suzuki just start fucking. Like, the first, like, 3 minutes of this match is just them chopping each other.
Until they're purple. Yes. Once they are purple, then they start wrestling.
They chop each other. They go outside the ring. Mm-hmm. They chop each other outside the ring. Mm-hmm. And then they go back in the ring and chop each other some more. And then they decide, all right, let's actually wrestle now. I've chopped you guys. Mm-hmm. So yeah, now they're wrestling. They mix it up through the pit. We come out. Suzuki goes for the gotch pile driver, but then he's like, he lets Joe go, and he's like, let's fucking start chopping again. I'm like, oh shit, let's go. What chops?
I think Jim Ross brought it up in the commentary. It's like, oh, they got a lot of strikes in here.
Yeah, there's a lot of strikes. Big strikes going on.
Oh God. Fucking Jim Ross the whole time was just like, He was critiquing this. He's being mad critical about it. I'm like, Jim Ross, just enjoy it. Stop being a weirdo.
You knew this was going to be like this, Jim. You've seen enough of these.
They're going to kill each other. It's going to be fun. Let it rock.
So Suzuki ducks out of the chop fest, tries to put on the sleeper, but Joe side slams him. They fight to the corner. Suzuki's placed up top, and Joe goes for the muscle buster. But Suzuki locks in an arm bar. But then Joe breaks free, is able to get him up on his shoulders, and then he drops him center ring with the muscle buster.
It's the Kinnikuman buster.
The Kinnikuman buster, yes. The originator.
We gonna go back to fucking ultimate muscle.
Yeah.
Ultimate muscle.
So yeah, Joe finishes Suzuki, gets the win. Your new Ring of Honor World TV champ, Samoa Joe. And now, like they mentioned on commentary, he has completed the Ring of Honor Triple Crown. He has been world champion, pure champion, and now TV champion.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful. If only the show ended there.
Yo, this shit got me mad because I'm like, this is probably one of the fucking craziest mean beastly ass matches I've seen in a long time, where these two motherfuckers just fucking beat each other till they were purple. Fucking mean, bro. Samoa Joe had a lump on the side of his head. Like, these motherfuckers was killing each other. And then it beautifully ends with Joe finally, you know, getting that adulation. And I was like, yo, go off the air, enjoy it. And then the lights just go out, and I'm like, I start thinking about that song with Five.
Oh, when the lights go out.
Baby, when the lights go out. And I'm just like,
well, before the lights go out.
This is this entire show, bro.
this entire show lights out. Before the lights go out, Lethal and Sanjay, they were in the crowd watching, and they come out, and they're like, oh, yeah, congrats, Joe. And now, like we said, we got a gift for you. We're going to give you your big gift. And they got a gift box. And they open the box, and it's what it is. That was the gift. So then Joe is like, man, that's what y'all brought for me. And then the lights go out. And then,
baby, when the lights go out again.
And then Five jumped Samoa Joe. It was the UK pop group Five. That was crazy. And then Dynamite ended. And then there you
go. No.
No, the lights come on, and there is a big, tall Indian bloke in the ring.
Yeah.
And he lays out Joe, beats him down, does the Kali head crush gimmick. Tony Schiavone, like, reads this dude's Wikipedia live on air. I know this guy. He's a fucking NBA player, and he did all this and that. And I know who he is. Satnam Singh.
I'm like, I don't care, my nigga. Like, what did you do? What did you do?
Yeah, that's that. This dude, Satnam Singh, he stands tall with Sanjay and Lethal to end the show.
Could have done this next week.
Could have done this in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
Like, so this segment, just as a segment by itself, whatever. I don't have a problem with it necessarily. The problem I have with it is, for one, it's the last segment of the show.
Yeah.
This is your fucking big angle to send out the show. This is why you got the overrun. And in fairness, Dave Meltzer explained this. It's a business decision because Warner Media, they just did this big deal with Discovery.
Wow.
And you know, now they're trying to basically what WWE did with Jinder Mahal. We got to get somebody prepped and hot for the Indian market because you know we want to appeal to that market. So business decision. Whatever. Again, you ain't got to do that at the end of the show. You could do that in the middle. And lights out, lights on is cool, but can't just do that for everybody.
Thank you.
You can't. Because when you do lights off, lights on for an appearance or a debut or whatever, when the lights go off, people expect when those lights come on to see something crazy.
Yep. Yep.
Like, I saw online, people were like, Claudio, or, you know, whatever.
That's WWE what I was thinking.
Guy or
that's
whatever,
what I was know, thinking Claudio.
Yeah, whatever guy that's out there, big free agent name that's out there that hasn't come to AEW yet, that's what people were thinking when the lights go out. And when for the lights to come up, and it to be a dude, you know, and look, this dude could turn out to be like the dopest guy ever, whatever. But like, in this immediate moment, we don't know this dude from A to B. We don't know who the fuck this dude is. And you make that moment fall flat. And again, this come and then with you ending the show like this after this whole big match, it comes off very, very WWE.
Yep.
With a big old giant just laying out motherfuckers. Yep. And listen, again, if your angle is we got this big heavy for Sanjay and Jay Lethal, and that's going to be the angle with Joe and all that, that's fine. It's just you did that in the wrong spot. You placed way too many expectations upon it when you put it in that main event time slot and then instantly let all those expectations down with the segment itself. Mm-hmm.
happens is when you do these kinds of like surprise gimmicks, right? It can't be somebody that we don't know.
Yeah.
That's all it is, bro. If we don't know the motherfucker, then you're like, oh, this is... And we're like, who the fuck is this, bro? Stop making the lights go out for everybody. I would have been way better with the fact that if this guy would have came and ran down, no fucking lights, no nothing, or if he would have just... not even, he ain't even got to run. He could have been sitting somewhere in the crowd where you can't see him on hard cam, and then all he had to do was literally just get up, walk down, or Sanjay Dutt and my brain just farted, and fucking Jay Lethal, we're just doing the whole gimmick, right? You could have that easily had him walk down while they're doing all that shit, and then pop up right behind him when the camera cuts back to Samoa Joe, same effect without the lights going out. And then on top of that, nobody's expecting Jesus Christ to come out or somebody who's, that caliber of, like, big, big name. Because when you do that shit, that with the lights, then we're over here thinking, oh, well, maybe it's going to be somebody that we haven't seen in a very long time or something like that. Or somebody, or maybe it could have been that. You see how, Aleister Black was talking all that shit earlier?
Yeah.
Then Aleister Black, because he's the dark gimmick. He's the dark character. Could have been Sting. Sting is dead. You know what I'm saying? So don't do that, because we're going to expect somebody that either A, we really like or we know them to have this gimmick. Or you know what I'm saying? Or B, it's got to be somebody that's like brand new and fresh and fire. If not, it's some guy we never seen before ever. Not even in the indies, then we're going to look at y'all like,
who the fuck is this? And why did he get the light treatment?
And I mean, not like, because again, this is not like AEW has done this before with fucking, but they did this with, not Lights Out, Lights On, but they did this with Butcher and Blade. Mm-hmm. They did do Lights Out, Lights On with Dark Order when nobody knew who Dark Order was. Mm-hmm. And people said the same thing. You can't just do that when people don't fucking know who you are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you gotta, gotta keep that in mind. If you're gonna do Lights Off, Lights On, it has to be someone that people are fucking gonna be up for when those lights come back on.
Yep.
Because otherwise, somebody, it's gonna fall flat.
Or somebody, like I said earlier, who that's their gimmick. You know, yeah, what I'm saying?
Somebody who, all right, then, it's Sting. Then, you know,
yeah.
Either somebody who we know from this show, or if it's somebody new, somebody who is gonna excite them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like you said,
everything I said, but
yeah.
Abridged.
So, yeah, I mean, I thought this was that's Dynamite. I thought this was a really good show. It had its hiccups. Mm-hmm. Poor old Marina Shafir and Sky Blue.
Shit, and God damn! Don't ever do that again. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you can't do it the right way, because I don't know. In my heart of hearts, I feel like that was supposed to be Layla Hirsch. And because she's injured. It
actually probably was, and she got hurt.
Mm-hmm. Then just don't do it. you feel me?
Don't do that match. You would have been better off not doing that. Like, I get you got to do a Marina match because you got to set her up for Jade, but I don't know. Something else.
Not with Sky Blue, though?
Yeah, not with something else. Something else.
Yo, Red Velvet was right there, bro, and she just turned heel fresh.
Red Velvet fucking... Well, I guess that's why you don't do Red Velvet because she just turned heel, right?
Well, that's why I would do it, to double down. I would have her come out here and talk her shit, get in Marina Shafir's face, and Marina Shafir's just like... And she keep talking her shit and getting attitude and blah, blah, blah. Marina Shafir's just like... And then, boom, you have her do the little shoot punches like Shane and shit. Yeah. And you have her fucking roundhouse kick her a few times. And you have her fucking slam her around. And then you get the pin right away. 1, 2, 3, done.
Even that, though, I feel like that's a much better idea. But even that, I feel like at this point in the game where we're like almost there to the match, I feel like it's too late. Not too late, but you should have done it sooner.
Yeah. If you were going to do it that way. That too. Yeah. But again, we don't know the time they had.
Yeah. We don't know what time they had. So like you could do it whenever. But I just mean like if you're building that story, then that's definitely a step that should have been taken sooner. But in general, I feel like that's the whole thing with Marina. They're trying to get her over, but they haven't been able to do it right so far because they haven't been able to put the proper people in front of her to build her up.
I'm going to make you laugh right quick because I'm laughing because I'm thinking about something in my head.
What?
So you see when I think it was either Sanjay or Jay Lethal who threw the towel over Joe's face.
Oh, yeah.
The place where his towel was exactly where Minoru Suzuki was sitting in that corner. And for some weird reason, when they throw the towel in his face, he immediately rips it off of him and goes, and then he goes back to selling. So Minoru Suzuki must have farted on that shit or some shit. He's pissed on it, shit on it, fart on it, some shit. He must have played a rib, bro.
Yeah, you get ribbed, kid.
Go watch him. Go back and watch that little bit. The towel was on him for a second. The moment that he like takes a whiff right quick, he's like, oh, what the fuck?
Wally.
Go back and watch. You're going to notice it too. And you're going to notice that it was in the same corner when Minoru Suzuki was sitting on. And he must have done some shit to that towel, bro.
Get ripped, kid.
It's something that I wouldn't say he wouldn't do. You feel me? Because we all know about Minoru Suzuki.
Hey, Suzuki ain't above jokey shit. He may seem like it because he's a badass, but nah, he ain't above jokey shit.
He loves trolling motherfuckers. Yeah. Everybody Suzuki, they know.
Yeah, he ain't above that shit. But Dynamite again, fun minus the couple of hiccups. Ending, not the best ending. Definitely gotta do something else there. But I mean, match is great. Main event was fucking fire.
Yeah.
Bunch of fun matches on this show. Some fun build. That MJF Wardlow story is going crazy right now. Just fun time.
Wardlow is awesome.
Clear up the hiccups.
I'm gonna make this. I'm gonna leave this with some happiness. Wardlow is awesome. Samoa Joe is awesome.
Hell yeah.
Minoru Suzuki, GOAT.
Hell yeah.
Will Hobbs, Ricky Starks, Shane Strickland, Keith Lee. Nyla Rose is hilarious. Bitch.
That other stuff is happening. I'll give Big Homie a chance. It's just, you know, you shouldn't have did that with him.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with the dude. I don't know anything about this man. You feel me? Yeah. It's just Tony Khan. The fuck was that all about? Yeah. Lights off.
Not a great start. Lights off. But we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. But everything else is dope. But yeah, that's the show.
Do your thing now.
Indeed. Because you know where to find us. Find us on Instagram at Ramble Mania Show and at Banter Club Podcast. Find us on Twitter at Ramble Mania. Facebook.com/Ramble Mania Show. Also find our group there, Ramble Mania Show's Banter Club. Where we and the other wrestlers and podcasters and everybody we associate with post all our goings on and all that is going down. As far as the audio goes, everywhere audio is found, that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast. Everywhere your podcasts are found, search Ramble Mania Show or Banter Club. And of course, as far as the visuals go, that's we're on fucking Jesus Christ. Twitch.tv/Ramble Mania Show. Mm-hmm. We're on YouTube, search Ramble Mania Show or Banter Club. When you get here, like the videos, click subscribe and click the bell so that when a new content drops, it goes straight to you. Of course, we're also on Spotify Video. So, you know, you either want to listen or you want to view, you can check us out on either way on Spotify platform. As far as me personally, find me on Instagram at TJ the Great One. That's TJ the GR, the number 8, the number 1. And on Twitter at TJ the Great. That's TJ the GR, the number 8. It's as simple as that.
TJ the Great. Okay. I don't know why I did it so weird. You can find me on Instagram at the number 6, the letter X, letter L, that is at 6XL. You can find me on Twitter at SIIXX, ain't I great? That is at SIIXX, you already. And you can find us on TikTok. Yeah, you can find us on TikTok at Ramble Mania Show. We post funny little clips that we, you know, take from these beautiful episodes that you guys apparently are really liking, so... thanks. With that being said, see, I only said it once this time. We're going to leave our Banter Club loyalists, also known as our PC aliens, with a little something we like to call a too sweet. And a good fight.
Good night.
Blacker, 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 baby, when the lights go out, Tony Khan, you motherfucking... No, that's it.
Should have been 5. Should have been 5 doing running.